St. Peter of Alcantara, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, children, the saint of today, St. Peter of Alcantara, Spanish saint, what we know of him comes mostly from another Spanish saint, St. Teresa of Avila. St. Peter was her spiritual director, and they got along well together. It was revealed once to St. Teresa, even while St. Peter of Alcantara was still living, that God never refused the prayers of this St. Peter. And so even while he was still living, St. Teresa regarded him as a saint and always asked him to pray for her and for all of her intentions. And nothing was ever denied her through his prayers. And so we should take that too as a lesson for ourselves. Now that he is in heaven, the same promise still holds. Whatever we ask in St. Peter of Alcantara's name will be granted. So do that today. But as I said, he was a Spanish saint, and he lived at a time when there were many, many other great saints. St. Ignatius of Loyola was living, I believe St. Francis of Borja, St. Teresa of Avila. In fact, it might have even been in the same time that St. Philip Neri and St. Charles Borromeo were all living. Those were just a few of the great saints that were living at that time. It was a time of many great saints, the 1500s. But he left at a very young age. He was, I think, 16 years old when he left to enter the monastery. And he quickly rose from one high position to another and to another. And when he was 40 years old, he established an order of strict observance. You see, he once tried to reform one of the monasteries and make it a little more strict, but the people there, the other monks, didn't appreciate it very much. So he went out into the wilderness, and there he hoped to be by himself and to live a solitary life. But more and more monks came to him to follow him in his way of life. And then he founded the order of strict observance. And they led very great lives of severe penance. But despite all of the sufferings that they inflicted on themselves by their penance, they were always happy. Now, when our saint was dying, actually when he had already gone to heaven, he came back and appeared to St. Teresa of Avila and said, "Oh, happy penance, which has won me such glory." It was penance that got today's saint to heaven. And as I said, most of what we know about this saint, we know through St. Teresa of Avila. When she wrote the book about herself, well, naturally, it included stories about her spiritual director. St. Teresa called him a perfect imitator of Jesus Christ. And in her book that she wrote about herself, she mentioned the many types of penances that he did. And she said, "Of all his mortifications, that which cost him the most at the beginning was the overcoming of sleep." Many of us would rather sleep than work. Let's just be honest with ourselves. And it was the same for many of the saints. They had the same bodies that we have and the same weaknesses. And one of his struggles was to overcome sleepiness. So do you know what he did, though? He would remain kneeling or else standing all night long. And when he did allow himself to sleep during the night, he sat sitting up with his head leaning against a hard piece of wood that was attached to the wall in his cell. And even if he wanted to lie down at night, St. Teresa tells us, he couldn't because his bedroom was only 4.5 feet long. So the average man could not stretch out in that room if he wanted to. And then St. Teresa tells us of his other penances too. The monks in those days wore hoods, but he never used his, no matter how hot it got, how bright the sun was, and no matter how rainy it was on all of his trips, he never used his hood. And that was one other mortification. Another was that he never wore shoes or socks of any kind. And his clothes were not comfortable at all, but they were rough and they were coarse. And then somehow she found out, too, that St. Peter wore a hair shirt. Only a hair shirt is something that was made usually of camel's hair, so it, when you put it on, it's something like wool. If you've ever worn a woolen sweater, it gets really itchy, and you just want to get rid of it and take it off. But he wore a hair shirt, but the shirt was not made in the normal way. It was made with some tin. It was plates of tin under all of the wool and the camel's hair and everything. And he wore that shirt for 23 years. And then sometimes, over his habit, he would wear a cloak. In our day, we would call it a coat. And when it got very cold, though, he would remove the coat. And he would open the window and the door to his bedroom, and he would let it get really cold in there. And only after it was really cold, then he decided he would close the window and door after he had suffered enough and put on his coat. And he also told St. Teresa once that he would eat only one time every 3 days. Even St. Teresa, when she heard that story, just marveled, and it said that she expressed surprise. And St. Peter told her, well, believe me, you can get used to it. And that was enough for St. Teresa. And he was so disciplined in the control of his eyes, he never looked around. Like a lot of times we'll go out in the streets and want to look at all the beautiful trees, and when we're on the sidewalk, look at who's coming towards us and all of that. We're always looking around everywhere. But not St. Peter of Alcantara. He once lived in a monastery for 3 whole years. And he had such control over his eyes that never once in those 3 years did he look at the other monks. It is said that the only way he recognized them was by their voice. And then, too, I remember seeing this in the movie. It's in Spanish, the movie about St. Teresa. And St. Peter of Alcantara is there in the convent discussing some matters of the convent with her. And then he's going to leave, and he starts to go upstairs as if he's lost. And St. Teresa smiles and points him out, no, here's the door. That actually happened in his life. The reason is for that very purpose, that he never looked around. And so when the bell rang and he had to go to chapel, or the bell rang and he had to go to dinner, or the bell rang and he had to go outside, he couldn't find his way unless he followed the other brothers, because he never looked up. And that was one of his great penances that he practiced in his whole life long. Well, children, there were also many miracles that this saint worked in his life. Oftentimes when he was in prayer, he would levitate, and he'd just fly up into the air. And it says that he shone with such brilliancy. And sometimes he was seen to pass over rapid water without getting wet one bit. And on one occasion, when his fellow monks were without any food at all and they were poor, he simply took his staff and hit it on the ground, and suddenly his staff turned into a fig tree, and they probably made some sort of fig Newtons and all of that stuff, and they ate a very good meal that day. And another time he was traveling, but he didn't have anywhere to sleep. So he came upon this one old house. It was all beaten down and falling apart. And in fact, it didn't have a roof to cover it. So, and as I said, it was snowing very heavily with those huge snowflakes. So he went into the house, and it was snowing so hard that if he had fallen asleep and woken up the next morning, he would have been buried in snow. But it says that miraculously, the snow would fall and form a roof over the house, and it kept the saint warm all night long. Well, after he died, as I said earlier in the sermon, he appeared to St. Teresa and said to her, "O happy penance, which has won for me such glory." That's a good lesson for all of us, children. When we think of penance, I think the first thing that you'll think about is the penance that you must say after confession. Well, that is a penance. But there's other types of penance too. Most of the time, God will choose a penance for us. It could be a fellow classmate that we don't like or that doesn't like us and that gets on our nerves, that is a penance that comes from God. It could be schoolwork. We just don't like to do it. It could be even coming to Mass and listening to a sermon and keeping awake and paying attention. That could be one too. Or silence when you'd rather yell out and scream at somebody. Those are all penances that God gives to us. Then there are the penances that you can take yourself. Have you ever thought, children, when you go home, have you ever thought of just saying a decade of the rosary on your own without being told, or reading a book on the saints, even just a paragraph from a book? That can be a great penance too. Or to say a prayer and penance, just one extra Hail Mary before going to bed. You know, what is the purpose of penance? And we'll end on this. Before the sin of Adam and Eve, no one needed any penance. But after their sin, everyone needed penance. And without penance, not a single one of us will make it to heaven. So remember that, children, that penance is very important. But especially when you're choosing penances, choose the one that is going to help you the most. All of us have a fault, a sin that we commit over and over and over and over and over again. That should be our penance, to work on overcoming that sin. Maybe it's anger, maybe it's jealousy, maybe it's being too sensitive when you're yelled at. Work on that, and work on becoming more and more holy, because the path of penance is the path to heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.